The following is a presentation of the Chicago Bears Network. Now on News Radio 780 and 105.9 FM, WBBM, this is Bears Insider with Bears head coach Lovie Smith, his coaching staff, and the voice of the Bears, WBBM's Jeff Joniak. Brought to you by McDonald's and sponsored by North Shore University Health System and Walgreens.
Francisco, and a short morning here at Hallis Hall, building to the Thanksgiving week preparations for Sunday's visit from the Minnesota Vikings. Good evening and welcome to Bears Insider. Lovie Smith will be along in moments. We'll talk about it all next on News Radio 780 and 105.9 FM WBBM.
Bears Insider with head coach Lovie Smith continues. Now, here's the voice of the Bears, WBBM's Jeff Joniak.
Snap is back, Kaepernick looking left. Kaepernick is in trouble, sandwich, and down he goes. Brought down by Corey Wooten and also Israel Adonijay. They meet at the quarterback and sack Kaepernick.
And the Bears continue their streak of games with a sack to 10 in this season. Every game this season with a sack. However, for the first time, no takeaways against the 49ers last night in San Francisco. Welcome into Bears Insider featuring head coach Lovie Smith. Tim Holt, the Bears offensive line coach, will be joining us as well this evening. I'm Jeff Joniak here with you until 8 o'clock tonight. Good evening, coach. How you doing?
Doing pretty good. How about you, Jeff?
Busy, huh? Busy. Get here, I think we got here, what, 5:30 in the morning and right to work on the Vikings.
Quick turnaround, but, you know, we knew what the schedule would be before, so we knew this week would be like this.
So how do you break it down when you got a West Coast trip against a team that has had a week to gather, regather, get healthy over there in Minnesota, bye week, and then you got to start preparing for them right away? You do have to look at the tape of what happened last night, but also really start right away on getting ready for the Vikings, a team you know very well, but you're playing them for the first time this late in the season.
Yeah, we have to. It has, as I say, you know, quick turnaround. But and we'll look at the game. Of course, you can always learn from even a game like that where we didn't do a lot of things the right way. But it does help when you're playing an opponent that you know as well as we do. And I'm talking about the Vikings. So it's just on to them. We're already, you know, kind of game planning them, getting ready.
All right. Last night, simply said, not a good night across the board. Where did you see the biggest difficulties and how do you feel about what you saw?
And I'm not trying to run away from the question, Jeff, but we didn't do anything right. Very few of us can, you know, can feel good about, you know, the performance we had. You have to give them a lot of credit. They were more physical than we were. Hadn't been able to really say that an awful lot. They had a great game plan, force, just, you know, any way you want to, you know, you want to measure it out. It was their night.
From your experience, and you said it perfectly right there, it doesn't happen often that a team will be more physical than the Chicago Bears. That's what you pride yourself on. That's what you want to be when it happens that way. How do you then get that confidence back as a group to make sure that doesn't happen again? Or is that just, hey, they you knew they were going to play that way. That's who they are.
Yeah, and I'm talking about as a whole. Now, we played, you know, physical football, and we were physical at time, but just overall, that's how it happened. But you have to just look at it for what it is, Jeff, one game.
Yeah.
That's what you can't, you know, we can't go back and look at the seven wins that we had or the loss. This was one game where we didn't play our best ball. They played an outstanding football game. And then from there, we have to learn and just don't let it happen again. It's as simple as that. What you can't do is let them beat you twice by just really harping on it. We're going to, of course, I'm going to do the show tonight. We're going to watch the video tomorrow. And then it really is about Minnesota.
Even the players, I mean, I saw quotes from Tim Jennings, Devin Hester, some of the guys that came on our postgame show using the word embarrassed. They feel they were embarrassed by the 49ers. When you hear that statement coming back from your guys, does it throw up any red flags? Or does that, you think that feeds the competitive spirit more for the next time they get down at Soldier Field on Sunday?
Well, I know how competitive we are, and, you know, when you have a national stage like that, we've normally played our good football, you know, maybe even our best ball when we've had that type of opportunity to let everybody see what type of team we have. But sometimes it just doesn't work out that way, and during the course of a year, there will be disappointments that you have. You have to fight through adversity. It always comes when you least expect it, and that's what happened to us, but you know, we have a lot more football left to go, and it's back to the practice field and correct some things.
Before we talk a little more about last night, what's the next step in the evaluation process for Jay Cutler to be cleared to play football?
Well, just that. He's already, he's been through the evaluation process. It's been it's been going on even since, he sustained a concussion. But we're optimistic, as we say it. He's been, of course, we kept him here this past week to let him rest up even more. I think we'll just have, hopefully have good news a little bit later on in the week.
Now, more of the Bears Insider with head coach Lovie Smith on News Radio 780 and 105.9 FM, WBBM.
Shotgun snap is back. Jason Campbell, tight pockets, going to leave, rolling, throwing to the end zone, up in the air. Touchdown, grab! Touchdown, Brandon Marshall! Touchdown, Bears!
And two of Brandon Marshall's team-high 8 touchdown catches coming this season from Jason Campbell here in back-to-back weeks. Hardly enough, though, to beat the 49ers, at least last night. It is the play of the week brought to you by McDonald's, proud partner of the Chicago Bears. With head coach Lovie Smith, Jeff Joniak here with you until 8 o'clock tonight from Hallis Hall in Lake Forest. Campbell certainly capable of making throws like that, and Brandon certainly getting a position to win that jump ball. But unfortunately, it was just not to be last night. The consistency that you still seek and the execution of your offense did not happen last night. But Campbell, in terms of his performance, how would you evaluate it, beyond that play to Brandon?
Well, beyond that play, I think Jason is a lot like, the rest of us. We did some good things throughout the night, but just overall, our performance wasn't, what we were really looking for. In fairness to Jason, it was tough. They got a lot of pressure throughout the night, and it kind of made it hard. To get passes off and really get into a rhythm.
Yeah, he took a lot of shots. 17 out of his 28 pass drops, there was what you would call enough pressure to cause him to either leave, get hit, or get sacked.
Yeah, so, it was a tough night.
Yeah. So up front, is this how would you evaluate that situation right now, because it did a very nice job against Houston pass protecting. And again, it goes back to that word consistency, and we'll talk with Tim Holt about this too. It's 10 games in and you're still not getting the consistency you seek from those five guys up front and the whole offense, but those five guys up front got to protect.
Yeah, it is 10 games in, but I still say you just have to look at last night. We have played decent ball at times with our offensive line, which has allowed us to win those seven games. But last night, we didn't play well. Just looking at that effort last night, versus the run and the pass is not good enough. It's kind of as simple as that. And, we all had a part of that.
At what point do you also recognize that other team is pretty darn good up front? I mean, everybody who evaluated that game knew that they have the ability to do just that to any team, right?
Yeah, no, and coming in, we knew that we were playing against a good defensive team and, of course, a good defensive front, good defensive front seven. And, of course, they didn't disappoint at all. Athletic up front, really stout against the run and, rushed the passer extremely well.
The Justin Smith play, his ability to just hold guys up and let Alden come in and, they – ran a few of those stunts that got to the quarterback. But the surprise, and we were talking about in the break, is just, maybe not to you, but to Greg Miller, our producer here, and I, this the power of Alden Smith, as he had plenty of bull rushes there. He seems slight. He doesn't seem like this big power end. But that maybe was the biggest surprise of the night, for me anyway.
Now, as you look at Alden Smith, how many sacks does he have right now?
15.
That kind of tells you before last night what type of football player he is. But yes, looking at him, you would just assume he's a speed rush on the outside and wants to play the pass as much as anything. And he does want to, rush the passer, but he did play with power and played the run well too.
I know some of the comments were of surprise that Colin Kaepernick threw as much as he did. Did you anticipate seeing what he did? It didn't seem like he seems like he had a plan and probably a lot of script to it too. Certainly beginning of the game and then the beginning of the second half with adjustments and so forth.
Yeah, but, he threw the ball, 22 times or something like that. So that's not, out of the ordinary as far as having, throwing a lot more. I mean, they were a balanced team coming in, and that's pretty much what they did. I know they, started the game with a few passes to try to get you off a little bit, but the surprise was probably what he did with those passes, and he was accurate throughout. You know, the balls were right on the money, you know, from the start. You know, about three or four of the passes, he put him in a spot where he had to. And so for a guy to start his first game, he was impressive.
Yeah, and you, quarterback's best friend typically would be a tight end. And Vernon Davis has the unique ability to carry with him even at his experience level and now in the league. I mean, he came in with a 4.3 40 at his position. That's certainly difficult to deal with, but that posed a matchup challenge for you. You certainly couldn't have been surprised at that, obviously, but stopping it is a whole nother situation.
No, it was, and Vernon Davis is a all-pro tight end, and he played that way last night too. You know, when the balls are right on the money and you have that type of ability, which he had, and we had him, we had good coverage on him at times. Lance Briggs, he caught a pass, a deep crossing route on Lance Briggs. Lance played it about as well as he possibly could, but you're going to make some plays like that. It's just, just throughout the night, for us, we needed to make some plays. We're playing against a good football team and all that, but for us, we needed to show up and do more. And talking about us defensively, minus two on the turnover ratio. We didn't take the ball the first game of the year. We haven't taken the ball away. And that's just not our formula for winning football games. If we could have gotten, a few big plays like that, could have at least helped our cause.
Bears Insider continues with head coach Lovie Smith, joined this week by offensive line coach Tim Holt. Bears Insider on the home of the Bears, News Radio 780 and 105.9 FM, WBBM.
They pretty much did exactly what we prepared for. They just executed. And like I said, you got to give them a lot of credit because this was a game where both teams knew exactly what the other team wanted to do, and they just did a better job at it.
That's Nick Roach taking us out of break as the Bears fall in San Francisco last night. Welcome back into Bears Insider. This Sunday's game brought to you by Chase, the official bank of the Bears since 1934. The first 30,000 fans to enter Soldier Field receive a Bears Chase scarf. And you can ask a Bears question in the Toyota Fan Zone. Tweet any Bears-related question using the hashtag BearsToyota. And it might be answered by myself or Tom Thayer during the Bears Game Night Live broadcast Sunday nights on Fox Chicago. If the selected question belongs to you, you receive a Bears Pro Shop gift card. So use the hashtag BearsToyota. Welcome back in at 7:24. Now joined by offensive line coach Tim Holt. Good evening, Tim. How you doing?
Good. How are you guys?
Pretty good. But before we get to you, let's talk about what Nick Roach had to say right there, because there's a lot that obviously went into that game and what came out of that game. But the perception, I think, was... Were you surprised at what you saw, either formationally, positions in terms of group of players that came into games? And all that they did had been on tape before. It was like they didn't come up with some new special game plan to throw at the Chicago Bears. And Nick said that last night. Would you agree with that?
Yes, I'm going to voice the same thing. That is perception. That's just not the reality of what happened. We knew what they were going to do. They stayed true to who they were in all phases, and it comes down to execution always, especially with two teams like us. We're not going to change our philosophy overnight, anything like that. It didn't change their game plan based on starting a new quarterback, anything like that. They did lean on the run. Play-action pass is exactly what we thought they would do. They did.
He's a good play-action passer for being young. He did a heck of a job at the deception of it, don't you think?
I think he did a good job at everything last night. Play action, of course, when he was in a drop back, when he was in the gun. It was our night.
And Tim, from your perspective with the offensive line, the one fact you knew about the 49ers was their physicality. And I think that was clearly evident. And I talked to Coach about this fact that the Bears had to go in there, match and surpass that emotion, the physicality, and the event itself facing an NFC opponent as good as the 49ers. And they had to do the same with an opponent as good as the Bears. But were they more physical? Did it end up being that way?
It did end up being that way. They were definitely more physical than us. They took it to us, especially pass rush. They definitely took it to us.
One thing about offensive linemen, they don't like admitting that, but when it happens, they do put their hand up and say, yeah, that's exactly what happened. That's the beauty of offensive linemen. But the way that you try and stop a guy like Justin Smith, who sets up the edge guys just by his manhandling inside. Very difficult assignment. What is the best way? What were you guys telling these guys about Justin Smith?
Well, basically, we were trying to, you know, make sure we used our hands. We did a poor job with our hands. That was the biggest thing that showed up. And he was able to get us a few times, but we weren't able to get off. He was, you know, we couldn't get off on Alden when Alden looped a few times. And then, you know, a couple times we didn't get out to Alden because we were preoccupied with Justin.
And at times it looks like, and even on tape, that he knows how to, being the veteran, he yanks you on you a little bit.
It's all part of the game.
It is. And, you know, you could cry and scream about, you know, hey, that's a hold. But, I mean,
we do it on our end, too. So.
Yeah, exactly. It evens out. But Alden Smith, we talked before you just got here about his speed and so forth, that bull rush. Yep. What made that difficult to stop?
I think we... I want to say we got lulled to sleep a little with the bull rush because he is so good with his hands. We were concentrating, and then we kind of set soft a little bit and gave him the opportunity to give us get into our chest a little, which any good pass rusher will take advantage of that.
Yeah, and it just gets you off balance, and then you're on skis, and that's difficult. In terms of that, over the course of a game, like with him, does he set you up a little bit for that?
Yeah, he does a good job of setting you up. I think some of our stuff was self-inflicted, though. You know, just with some of our sets and how, you know, we floated a little bit, which will always get you into trouble.
And what do you mean by floating?
Well, if you keep setting and setting, eventually you're going to go past them or get down the middle of them, which coach will tell you, you never want to be down the middle of a guy in pass rush.
Is that then?
Because you give him a two-way go.
Oh, okay. Yeah. And is that also then also an invitation to bull rush?
Yes.
It gets right in your chest. If you're too high, you're dead, right?
Correct.
That's what happens.
Like Coach Levy said, it's one loss. They're a good football team, but it's one game. All our goal is still ahead of us. You know, we have to learn from it, but we have to move on. We had a short week. We had a big division game against the Vikings at home. So, you know, what a better way to go out there and ride the ship.
This is Bears Insider with Bears head coach Lovey Smith and offensive line coach Tim Holt. Brought to you by McDonald's and sponsored by University of Phoenix and Verizon. Once again, the voice of the Bears, WBBM's Jeff Joniak.
All right, thank you very much. That was Roberto Garza taking us out of break in the postgame show on News Radio 780 and 105.9 FM WBBM last night. Spoken like the true veteran and team captain that he is. That is the way you have to look at a loss. No Correct. Matter how good or bad you play.
Correct. And Roberto's probably one of the most accountable guys out there. And he recognizes things, and he's a great leader for us. And I think he'll obviously help us get everything right for this week.
And in doing so in a short week after that, do you often find that these guys really do? And it sounds like cliche. I can't wait to get back out there to fix it. Is something like that and how it all unfolded. And really, it was across the board. You can't just single out, you know, obviously the guy had 5.5 sacks. You can always say it's just that. But is it true that they really do want to get back out there? Because it's fundamental stuff.
Yes, it's definitely. And I think, you know, it leaves a bad taste in your mouth. I think they're definitely going to want to come back and get things squared away. And we'll be better this week.
Now, as the coach and with Mike Tice's help, obviously, with two young tackles like that, how do you make sure that what happened last night, often what Lovey says, don't make one loss equal two, but in their case, a level of confidence had to be shaken a little bit after that last night.
Right, yeah. You just have to continue to build them back up. You know, obviously we'll do some things differently to get them a little more help. You know, obviously when they start getting in trouble, we got to get them more help. That's on us. But no, we'll just build them back up and keep doing what we're doing and get back to fundamentals and we'll be fine.
And did you guys feel like because of the way they were progressing over this part of the season that they could have had a chance at performing better last night without that help?
Yes, we did. You know, especially after the way they had performed against Houston, which is a very good front. You know, we felt kind of good going into San Francisco.
And in terms of having, you know, we've had, you know, basically with the exception of left guard, basically the same five. With six to go, do you still feel that what you're looking for in terms of chemistry with that can be achieved here in the next six games?
Yeah, it's I think all offensive lines it's chemistry and they're always a work in progress. So we, you know, things happen along the way between, you know, sometimes things get shuffled around, but whatever five guys end up being in there, we'll go with, and that's what we'll do.
Depending on the pass rusher, in this case, they had several of them last night, but this week you had Jared Allen coming in. He's got a sore groin. I guess he says he's 75% headed into the bye week, but he's as dangerous as can be and could be just throwing it out there for kicks to make you think he's not quite right. But do the fundamentals, they don't necessarily change, right, in how to stop these guys? Or do you have to treat each pass rusher uniquely?
Everybody has a little bit different moves, but for most part, it is – if your fundamentals are your fundamentals, and if more you watch the tape, a lot of our stuff was self-inflicted, whether it be hand placement, you know, feet, set and soft, whatever it happened to be as it kind of progressed throughout the game. You know, a lot of it was self-inflicted. Those guys are good, but, you know.
And with the hands, for people who don't know all the intricacies of offensive line play, it's just, A, you'd want to get them on them first.
Get them on them first, have them inside.
And did that happen not enough last night?
Correct. A lot of our time, our hands were wide, and that was giving up our chest, and that was why if your hands are wide and he's got control of your chest, you're going to go backwards. So.
And then how about the running game? Because, you know, obviously that is what we want to be here in Chicago, the bread and butter to set up this offense. What is that?
Last night?
Yeah.
Last night it was just a combination of things. A couple times on the backside, you know, Justin Smith, again, beat us a few times on backside cutoffs, you know, which didn't allow us to get through the hole. A couple times, little things, like not pulling tight enough off a double team on the power play. Stuff like that. It was just combinations of just off a little bit.
Yeah, and that's the amazing thing it. It could be one step, 1 second, and it makes a huge difference in a hole being there or not. Support the 24th annual Chicago Bears and Jewel Osco Coat Drive by donating winter coats through December 16th at Jewel Osco stores in the Chicagoland area. Coats will benefit the Salvation Army and public schools in Chicago. Visit ChicagoBears.com for more information. All right, first year here with the Bears, but you know your journey has been a real interesting story. You had a bunch of years in college football, and then you get an internship with the Tampa Bay Buccaneers. Tell us how that came about and how you enjoy the pro game versus the college game and all your years of experience there?
With the internship I ended up getting with the Buccaneers, it was kind of, you know, great luck and right place at the right time. You know, I was there supposed to be for a week, kept me for another week, and then a position opened up and they kept me for the season. And it was only for the season, and then after the season ended, they signed me to a contract. And obviously, we... you know, it was just hard work, and like I said, it was timing, a little bit of luck. And
did you just feel it was time to take the chance? I guess
yes,
to leave the college game. You know, you had double-digit years.
It was definitely. I felt it was time to take the chance, and I'm gonna say it, but I was very fortunate. My wife was on board with me taking the chance. You know, because a lot of people don't know we weren't.
He says with a sigh.
No, she was great about it, especially since we weren't. She wasn't down in Tampa with me, so that was. So she was tremendous that she let me follow my dream and go after this.
Lovely, that's true for coaches, isn't it? Yeah, they got to let you ride a little bit.
Yeah, and they do. And you know, as Tim said, our wives, so much they have to go through. You know, as Tim said, to be away from your family for period of time, that's really tough, but he made it through.
And your connection to Mike Tice to come here, was that simply him seeking you out, or are you applying for something here?
I applied. I actually, the position was open. I applied. Pat Morris, a man I had worked with down in Tampa, knew Mike. He called Mike. Our head coach, Raheem, called Coach Smith, and it was kind of got the ball rolling from there.
Got to have connections in this business, right?
You got to have connections, but you have to do a great job, and word will get around. And you know, as Tim said, I mean, I called Raheem, and you know, he wouldn't let me get off the telephone talking about Tim and the job he did down there for them, and he's done that for us.
It's quite a story when you say you didn't have your family with you. So even though you love the game and you know it's an opportunity, a platform to hopefully build your career at the professional level, still it could not have been easy.
No, it wasn't, but it was worth it. You know, things happen for a reason, and, you know, you just got to gut through it and go, you know. It's kind of what this game teaches us, what, you know, I think everybody would do it to, you know, for their family to get them a better way of life. So.
What do you like about the pro game?
The fact that it's 24/7 football, and you do it, you know, all year, and the big thing is there's no recruiting, and you know, we have great, you know, it's different working with pro guys. They're just the amount of detail that they themselves take into it. You know, where in college, you kind of have to prod them more. These guys take such ownership of what they do, which is to me huge. The hugest difference between that and college.
And as a young coach with a you got a couple of veterans obviously on that line, they got to at some point say, okay, this guy is going to put me in a position to succeed. I trust him and respect him. But that's a process too. How have you found that to come along?
It's been coming along. It's like anything. They got to know that you believe in them, and they got to believe in you. And they got to, and at the end of the day, they have to know that you're trying to get them better. And I think they believe that and they know that. So,
all right. Before we let you go, give us a little Jared Allen scouting report. We certainly know all about him. Big deep breath.
Yeah.
Hey, he's one of the best.
He is one of the best. You know, he's very quick off the ball. Be careful for the spin move, and just we have to get two hands on him and be ready to fight him.
One thing he's talking about up there, he's not won in four trips here to Chicago, and the Bears have averaged 38 points against the Vikings, Lovey. So. They want to start fast. They've been falling down at halftime, and they haven't been able to come back.
Yeah, I know how he feels. you know, we want to start fast and finish strong also. It should be a heck of a game.
All right. Tim, we'll let you go. We know a lot of work to do to get ready for the next game, so appreciate it.
Thanks, guys.
Thanks for having us on. Thank you for having us on. We thank you for coming on. That's the byproduct of a long night and a short day.
The Bears Insider continues exclusively on the home of the Bears. News Radio 780 and 105.9 FM, WBBM.
You know, it was one of those rough nights. You know, get credit to their defense, you know, the pressure they put on us and, you know, what they do best. They're a defensive football team. And like I said, they outworked us tonight. You know, but at the end of the day, our season is not over with. You know, we're still 7-3, but we really need to, you know, just look at this because to get to where you were trying to go as a team, we're going to have to go through a team like San Francisco again.
Spoken like a true veteran, that's Jason Campbell. After last night's loss in San Francisco, welcome back into Bears Insider with you until 8 o'clock tonight here with Bears head coach Lovie Smith. Thoughts on what he had to say there?
Oh, great. We're all saying the same thing. We're a good football team. We're a 7-3 team that didn't play well last night. Give that team the credit. It counts as one loss only and is on to next week. This will be a distant memory, one that you know, that will go away quickly once we get to Minnesota.
And for those who, people, right or wrong, they like to rank wins and they like to rank losses, being good or bad. Do you believe in any of that kind of thinking?
Not at all. A win is a win. You put it in that win column, period. You can score 100 points or win by 1 point. It's the same thing. And you have to look at losses the same way. Lose by 1 point or you stink at the place the way we did last night. It counts as one loss, and you are what your record says you are. And through the course of year, there's going to be disappointments. I mean, we have one of the best records in NFL. That's who we are, and we'll get back on the winning track this week.
That's team-wide. Individually, though, are there some things that need to be looked at, as you do every week, to make sure this gets fixed?
Just like you said, Jeff, as we do every week. It doesn't matter whether it's a win or a loss. You evaluate the video. And if something is good, you point that out. If it's not, you point that out. And just you judge every game based on, you know, each play, each week. And that's what we're going to do. We're going to go back and do the same things we normally do. We're going to critique this video tomorrow and then get back on the practice field and go.
Corey Wooten, you gave him the start yesterday. You touched on it briefly in the pregame show that we had with you on the radio. Talk more about that, if you can, on why you made that decision and what it means to the rotation.
We made the decision. Every decision we make is based on production and not just a one-time shot on whether a player plays good one game, just over a period of time. Corey Wooten was having a good training camp for us and had an injury that knocked him back. But throughout the course of the year, he's done good things, and he warranted getting an opportunity to start. That doesn't mean, you know, Israel Donaje played an awful lot yesterday also. We have a rotation that we use. We use all seven defensive linemen that we normally dress, but you had to have four guys that start, and we feel like Corey deserved it.
Were there things about the way that the safeties were attacked in terms of San Francisco that maybe for the first time all season, because you guys hadn't given up a lot of big plays. I think you gave up six plays of 30 yards or more. Even if it happens once, I know it drives you nuts. Certainly the takeaway is not getting those drives you nuts, but are those things that could have been plays made even though they weren't?
Yeah.
Were they in position,
and,
I guess?
And, you know, Jeff, I'm just going to say, like, our football team as a whole didn't play as well. Safety was a part of that. Chris Conte played fairly well, though, except for take away a bad penalty that he got to start the game off. I thought he did some good things, but just overall, yeah, when we have long plays being given up, you know, a lot of times we'll say that the safety had an opportunity. A couple of those passes were thrown away from the safety a little bit, but if you talk to those guys, they'll say, like the rest of the team, they could have done a better job.
Special teams, what you think?
Going along the same thing with our team, and that really was how it was. Return game, we're still talking about return game and getting more from it. And there's just no way around that. We need to get more from our return game. Some teams may not put a lot on their return game. They just talk about it taking all three phases. That's not the case with us. I mean, we've won games with our special teams, and we need to get more production from them. We had a few guys that, you know, that did a pretty good job, though. Geno Hayes.
First two special teams tackles of the year.
First two special teams tackle of the year. We kind of, you know, we talked to him a lot about picking up his game. And Geno has had a lot of things going on, but he really stepped up. And so we saw improvement, you know, from him as we did a few others.
Anybody else? How about Adams punting?
Adams punting was good. He made some plays also, and we had other players, and I just don't want to, you know, just point out the guys that really played well, but, you know, everybody had their moments. It's just that a guy like Geno Hayes really stepped up because he hadn't made plays like that before.
Can we talk about Devin's punt returning? I know you guys have certainly discussed this, and there's just seems to be a penchant to keep trying to make the big play every time as opposed to getting what he can. Do you feel that that's going on right now with him?
Well, I don't think there's anything wrong with trying to make the big play. I mean, that's why we're talking about Devin Hester, because he's made big plays for us. And if you're a returner, you should be thinking about taking it back the distance every time. But it's just been a combination of things. If you talk to the guys blocking for him, they'll say that they can do a better job and they need to, and Devin will say the same thing. You just have to, you know, there's a lot of football left to go, and eventually we're going to win a football game based on what we, you know, what we do in our return game.
All right, let's start talking about the Vikings. From what you know about them, certainly a lot. The coaching staff is the same, so you know the schemes and so forth, but let's start with Christian Ponder and how his game has evolved since last season. Has he added any element to his game that you need to be aware of?
No, I think he's the same guy. When I say has he added, yeah, he has. And that's experience. That's what experience will do for you. But he is a mobile guy that can really keep plays alive with his legs. And just not, you know, being a mobile quarterback to move around in the pocket. He'll take off and he can, of course, pick up first downs just running the football. He has excellent speed. I thought, you know, he threw the ball well, especially early on, but really came back strong last week. But, it starts with your quarterback. In order for you to have a good season, you have to get production from the quarterback position. You know, last year, you know, it was Ponder and Webb they were talking about, and now, you know, it's Ponder's job. And again, he's led them to a 6-4 record.
Are you at all surprised at Adrian Peterson's impact despite being less than a year removed from that torn ACL? I think most people would say yes. How is he doing it without any problem? Same guy leading the league in rushing and explosive as ever.
You know, Adrian Peterson, you know, from the moment really he came on the scene in NFL, has played at a certain level. And, of course, we see him twice a year. He's one of the best players, you know, in the game. I think to even play it at the running back position, I think he's that type of football player. So to doubt him being able to come back, I wouldn't doubt that. And all I know is right now it didn't seem – you're telling me he had a knee injury, right? He went down
– Would never know it.
You would never know it the way he's playing. He's just playing outstanding ball.
The expert that you are and watching it, do you see anything different about his game? Is he trying to do Anything that's less, because he's a vicious runner. We've talked about
it. He's running the same way.
Same way.
He, you know, he runs hard as a runner. You know, he's got excellent speed to break the long ones. You know, normally when he's playing, he's right at the top of the charts as far as rushing is concerned, and that's how it is right now. And they have their offense, you know, built around him, which they've done in the past. So it's just, you know, seemed like old times to me.
Well, really, with him and you throw in Percy Harvin, who I guess could be back from his ankle injury, and then Kyle Rudolph has caught 6 touchdown passes, bunch of catches at the tight end position. If an offense has at least 3 weapons, is that enough to scare you? And not scare you, but to make you aware of, you know, you got options here that you have to be aware of.
Yeah, I think in order for you to say that you're a legitimate offense, you need weapons and at all of those key positions, and they do have them. You know, tight end position, really have done a great job getting him to ball, and that's a security blanket for a quarterback, especially a young quarterback at times. We talked about Adrian Peterson. Harbin is a heck of a player, can do so many things. Of course, as a returner, and they'll put him in the backfield from time to time. And then just as a wide receiver. So I know he missed the last game, but we'll assume he'll be ready to go this week.
Bears Huddle and Bears Blitz brought to you by Jimmy John's. Your chance to catch up on Bears news every Wednesday and Thursday at 4:30 on Comcast. Sportsnet Chicago, part of the Chicago Bears network of shows. And be sure to watch Bears Game Night Live brought to you by Toyota. Sundays at 10:35 p.m. on Fox Chicago, part of the Chicago Bears network. Couple of minutes left here with Bears head coach Lovie Smith getting ready for the Vikings game Sunday at noon at Soldier Field. Defensively, more than Jared Allen, they got somebody at every level of that defense of note. They got Antoine Winfield back over there and still starting and making plays. Chad Greenway, those are the guys you circle and say we got to count for them.
Yes, Kevin Williams up front, of course, Jared Allen. Mentioned Greenway, just a heck of a player. And it seemed like these guys have been playing forever. And they really have. Antoine Winfield, I know you and I have talked about it before. I coached Antoine Winfield as a freshman at Ohio State. That was a long time ago. And he's still playing the same way he played then. Just a cornerback that plays like a linebacker. They have, you know, have excellent personnel. They're playing hard. They, of course, play a similar scheme to ours on the defensive side of the football. And when you get into the division, which we are right now, you know each other well. You know, all of the players know the players. And for the most part, you know what you're going to do. It does come down to execution. And for us, we have a division home game coming up. Minnesota right now is 2-0 in NFC North, and we're 1-1. So this is a game we have to have.
Yeah, this is big. Let's be honest. It's big, and that whole formula about winning your home division games, that's the first step in the whole process to win a division. You got to do it.
Got to do it. And I like the NFL scheduling division games late in the year. You know, these are the teams that you have to beat. So
I'll say why.
What do you mean, why?
Why? Why do you like it?
Well, I mean, because...
Don't you like it spread out a little bit?
No, I like it at the end. Once it, you know, because this win, really, you win the division. You set yourself up early in the season, but it's what you do to finish. We always talk about finishing strong, and you want to be playing your division opponents like we are at the end of the year, the ones that you're fighting to get in the playoff with. You want to go head-to-head instead of having to depend on someone else to help you get in, and that's how it's set up for us.
Do you care about the two-game and three-week scenario
don't care about
with the
it
same
all.
Team?
That doesn't matter at all.
No advantage, disadvantage.
No. Don't think that either team has an advantage or disadvantage. Doesn't matter when you play. You know you have 2 games to play, and you just go for it.
And you can't hold anything back like, maybe we'll save this for the game there because that game there may mean a whole lot less than it means on Sunday. This one Sunday means everything.
Yeah, and I think that's overblown, a little bit.
It's fantasy football talk.
I'm talking about as far as saving stuff and doing something different.
I know.
For the most part, you know what the opponent will do, and we know each other well. That's why it should be a heck of a game.
How's that Harrison Smith playing back there in the Domer?
He's, just like the year Notre Dame is having right now, which is an excellent year. Harrison is playing the same way. We did a lot, work on him coming out of college. He's got a bright future ahead of him.
All right. Only thing I didn't ask about was injuries, but Alshon Jeffrey, we'll know more later in the week, but that's really that's the only one, right?
Yes.
And Jay.
And then hopefully Jay and Shay, you know, getting them back.
All right, Lovey. Have a great week preparing, sure. And happy Thanksgiving to you and your family. Thank you, everybody, for listening. Thanks to our director of broadcasting, Greg Miller, our producers tonight, David Rowe and Andy Gersher, for Bears head coach Lovey Smith, and offensive line coach Tim Holt. I'm Jeff Joniak. Thanks for listening, everybody. This is WBBM at HD Chicago, WCFS FM and HD1 Elmwood Park, Chicago. Have a great night, everybody, and happy Thanksgiving.